Well, hey guys, I want to welcome you again. My name is Sean C. I'm privileged to be one of the pastors around here, and thanks so much for spending part of your Sunday with us. We're really honored that you're here. If you haven't been tracking with us over the last few weeks, I'll catch you up real quickly. We've been talking about wishes over the last several weeks, and we all have wishes, right? Some of our wishes aren't all that major or significant in life. Some of us wish we were a little bit thinner, and I just want to let you know, I've actually stopped wishing to be thinner. I now just wish to be taller. And so I just feel like if I get taller, it'll all even out and we'll be just fine. So that's might want to add that to your wish list. Just an idea. Some of you have actually significant wishes, right? Some of you are wishing for a spouse that would come into your life, or some of you are wishing for children. That's really significant. Some of you have a spouse or children, and you're really wishing that God would do something significant, that they would change in some way or something would happen in their lives. And those wishes can be really, really significant. But throughout this series, we've actually mainly focused on God's wishes for us. So if you've missed any of this series, I really want to encourage you to go back to our website, atthechurch.com, or if you don't have our app, you should definitely have our app. Super easy to catch up on all the messages. And I don't know what you do as you're kind of, you know, commuting to work through the week or, you know, on a walk or whatever, but that's a great way to kind of catch up on things. And so I don't know what you think about when you think about God's wishes for you, but can I let you in on something, some really good news today? God's wishes for you are actually awesome. Like, God's wishes for your life, your financial life, your romantic life, your friendship life, like your morality, like God's wishes for you are so good. He does not want you to have a miserable, dreary life. God wants to give you the very best in life. And so I hope that you'll go back and catch up a little bit on this series. But here's how I want to end today. I want to end our series by sharing with you a few of the wishes that I have for you. Now, let me tell you why maybe that could or should matter in your life. I've had the privilege for really almost about 20 plus years now to be a pastor in some capacity. And throughout that time, I get to kind of walk through life with people. When I'm not standing up here on Sundays throughout the week, I get to interact with many of you and really get to hear your life stories and kind of walk with you through life. I'm with people at some of their highest points in life, right? I'm there when many of them get married, and man, it's just an incredible day and it's a celebration, and that's a ton of fun to be a part of. I'm also with people in some of their darkest parts of life. I'm there for funerals and surprise endings to people's lives that they didn't anticipate. This week, I spent some time with a friend who's currently incarcerated, and he's in a really scary, dark situation. And so I'm able to kind of walk through life in these highs and lows with people. And as I back up from that, it gives me this fascinating perspective on life and what matters and what doesn't matter. So what I want to end our series with today is I want to just share with you a few of the wishes that I have for you in light of kind of watching and observing people's lives for the last 20 plus years. Now, I understand if I were you, it's very possible that you're sitting there going, John, I don't really care what your wishes are for me, and I would probably feel that same way. So let me just give you an analogy. If you sat down today with your financial advisor, and your financial advisor said, hey, I have a few wishes for you that I think are really important, chances are you go, okay, this person's got some financial wisdom. I'm going to take some notes here, and I'm going to observe some of this, and you'd learn some things. If you sat down with a nutritionist today, chances are you'd not really be interested in what they have to say very much. But nevertheless, you might, you know, kind of entertain them and listen. And ultimately, you'd go, hey, I appreciate that, but I just like Oreos too much to really value what you have to say. I don't know, but maybe you would listen. So my hope is that you'd kind of open your heart, open your mind. And for just a few minutes today, you'd say, God, maybe you have something for me today. Maybe God would speak to you. And this is the kind of message you might want to take a few notes on, because we're going to move quickly through some things. So I hope you'll jot some things down. I really hope that God will speak to you and you'll be able to put some things into practice. So here is the first of a few of my wishes for you. I wish every one of us had authentic friendships. Now that seems really simple. That seems basic, right? We all have acquaintances. We all have friends. But I want to talk to you about a different kind of friendship, right? You have friends that you know from maybe activity-based friendships. Maybe your kids and their kids play sports together, and during that period of time, you feel like you spend like all your waking hours with those people. You know, you're traveling around all over the place or whatever. Maybe you go to a certain place to eat or drink after work, or maybe you've got coworker friends. Maybe you've got Facebook friends or social media friends in some capacity. You may have friends from high school or college or back in another season of life. But I want to talk to you just for a second about a different kind of friendship. I want to ask you a couple questions. When it comes to your friends, who really knows you? I mean, Who knows your real fears? Who knows the real version of your story? Not the edited, social media approved version of your story, but the real version. Who knows your dreams? Who knows enough about you to enter into life and celebrate with you when you really win? And who's there for you when life is really hard? Who knows your dreams? Who knows your fears? You see, that's what authentic friendship is like. I don't know if you're tracking with this or not, but there's a fascinating thing going on in our culture right now around the idea of loneliness. There are more people that are experiencing loneliness right now on a high level than maybe has happened in many, many years. I saw this quote recently in this article that I was reading. It said, loneliness isn't just a fleeting feeling, leaving us sad for a few hours. Research in recent years suggests that for many people, loneliness is more like a chronic ache affecting their daily lives and their sense of well-being. This same article referenced a study that was recently done by a healthcare provider. And it said in the people that they researched, look at this statistic, 50% of the people that they researched indicated that they felt alone or left out often. You see, many of you, many of us, you feel alone. And you think you're the only one. The truth is you're not. That there is a massive percent of our culture right now that feels alone and doesn't feel like there are people in their lives that really get them. But let me tell you, authentic friendships matter so much. We say this all the time around here, but this is so important. It matters because our friends, they determine the direction of our lives and the quality of our lives. Our friends have that kind of influence on us. For those of us that are a little bit older, we look at a younger generation and we see how true that is. Like, oh, you're making those decisions because of all your friends. But it's hard for us to see that that same reality is true for many of us. So my wish for you and for me is that we had some authentic friendships. You know what an authentic friendship is? It's a friend that wants God's best for you. It's a friend that cares so much about you that they actually value you above their friendship with you. You know what I mean? They're actually willing to communicate things to you that might make you uncomfortable in the time, but it's because they value you so much, they're not willing to sit idly by while you destroy your life or make decisions that send you in a direction you don't want to go. That's how much they care about you. You see, your authentic friends are the ones that really know you. The ones that enter into the highs and the lows of life with you. So I want to start us off today with a really simple question. How many authentic friendships do you have? How many deep, real friendships do you have? And if the answer to that is none or not many, what could you do this school year to begin to take a step in that direction? One of my wishes for you is that you had some authentic friendships. Let me move on to my second of these. I'm going to move through several of these. My next wish for you is that you consistently invested in others. Now, I don't know what your perception is of society and people, and maybe it's all going to hell in a handbasket. I don't know that was your grandparents' phrase, maybe. But hear me tell you one of my observations. One of my observations is that society right now is more inwardly and self-focused than maybe it's ever been before. The natural propensity of society is to turn inward on ourselves and kind of focus all on our little world and have a hard time stepping outside of that bubble. And it's never been easier before, right? Social media makes it incredibly easy. Here is my post and my tweets and my opinions and my. It's all about kind of my world and my perspectives, right? Entertainment's never made it easier. We have 24/7 entertainment, every option we could possibly imagine. You know, we get to this place to where we don't ever have to get outside of our little world. And yet, the reality is, we find that over and over and over again, when we spend all of our time, money, and energy focusing on us, we are less happy, less fulfilled, and less satisfied. But it makes sense that we would be in this place, right? I mean, think about our lives for a second. We don't have enough money to pay for all of our needs. We don't have enough time and energy to fix all of our problems and our kids' problems and our family's problems. It takes all of my money and all of my energy to focus on me, right? And yet, There's this crazy cultural paradox. When I spend all of my money, attention, energy, everything I have on me, I end up an unhappy person. And we see this. It's, again, it's so easy for us to see as we look at another generation. As we look at the younger generation, we see them being so consumed, so self-absorbed, so worried about how they look and what they wear and who they hang out with and what they get invited to and what they don't. And we can kind of look at them and see it clearly. And we want to say, just burst out of that bubble. And just focus on someone else. Let your life have an outward orientation to it, because there is more life in living that way. Well, you know, we didn't come up with this idea. Jesus talked about this 2,000 years ago, and there's a passage in Matthew chapter 16. There's a great one you want to write down and may even want to memorize, where Jesus says this idea. He says, if you try to hang on to your life, and let me give you the idea he's talking about there. That is, if you try to just take all of the things you want in life and just and grab a hold of them and squeeze them and don't let them go, essentially, he says, you're going to suffocate those things and you're ultimately going to suffocate yourself. You will ultimately lose it because you just kind of squeeze it to death. But if you give up your life, if you live with this open hands, outward orientation, I'm going to somehow figure out how to think and focus on other people. Jesus says, if you do that, then you're going to find real life. And all of us want this, don't we? We all want to make a difference with our lives, don't we? I mean, we all want to contribute to society. We all want to give back. We want to find a way to make a difference in the world around us. And yet, so often, our world never gets outside of our own little bubble. You know, when we talk about the idea of self-esteem, a lot of us look at, again, kids or another generation and see their huge needs for self-esteem. Do you know that one of the things that contributes to your self-esteem and my self-esteem is actually having an others-oriented life? That when you give, when you pour part of your life into someone else's, when you focus on someone else, when you serve someone else, you begin to experience more joy, more life, more self-esteem. You now have this part of your life that you actually feel proud of, that you feel good about what you've been able to do with your time and your energy in that way. But here's what I can assure you. The natural gravitational pull of life will never lead you to focusing on other people. It will only lead you toward focusing on yourself. And so if you're going to do this, if we are going to do this, we're going to have to find an opportunity where we can intentionally step outside of what's comfortable for us and serve some other people. And let me tell you, if you're serious about this, you'll find a way to actually build this into your life and your routine so that you consistently do it. And I can promise you that in the moments that you do this, you will find more life than you could possibly imagine. Jesus also said something that was quoted in the book of Acts. He said, there is more blessing in giving than there is in receiving. And he wasn't just talking about money. He was talking about our time, our energy, our focus, that when we give ourselves away, we begin to find life. Don't let your life be all consumed with you and your concerns and your issues. Find a way to break through that and focus on some other people. So one of my wishes for you and for me is that we would find a way to consistently invest in other people. So my question for you is this. Do you have that? Are you doing that? If you're not, what could you do this school year to take a step in that direction? I think it would lead you toward more life than you could imagine. All right, that's my second wish for you. Here's my third one. And the third one is one that every single one of us can completely relate to, okay? My wish for you is that all of us lived with financial freedom. Now, this is one of the craziest things in the world when I think about this. Every one of us can relate to this. But in one sense, it doesn't make any sense, okay? Because there are about 7 billion people in the world right now. If you lined up every single one of those people from least to greatest in terms of their annual income, the amount of money that they make, every person in this room would have to walk down to the end of the line to the top 5 or maybe even the top 1%. That 95%+ of the world would be on the other side of us, the downside of us in terms of income that we make. We are the richest people in the world. And yet we live with more financial pressure than anyone has lived with maybe in American history. We know that we're rich because we know that we make way more money than our grandparents made, right? I don't know about you. I don't know about your grandparents. Let me tell you about mine. My grandparents both worked in a factory. They never in their life made more than $6 an hour. They got up at about 4:30 every morning to work with kids. Both of them worked, but they were never in debt and they saved their whole lives. They lived in this tiny little house, but they had everything they needed. They were so content and so satisfied. They were willing to live a different kind of life. But see, as we look at our lives, we've got so much financial pressure, don't we? So much financial pressure. Do you know this? We're all big fans of our kids going to college, but did you know that the average student in America right now is graduating with a diploma in one hand and at least $30,000 of debt in the other hand? I mean, that's the average. There's so many that are coming out with more than that. They're starting in this negative place, and it's just it's a heartbreaking reality, but it's so true. And I know so many of you relate to this. Matter of fact, many of you right now, you have bills at home sitting on the counter that you don't want to open because you know what's inside of it. Many of you, like my family probably, you've had an argument in the last week or so about financial matters. Right? You're thinking about how you could fund college. You don't even want to think about retirement. And recently I ran across this statistic that said this. It said 68% of millennials, that's the generation younger than me, worry about debt, not occasionally, every day. I actually talked to a pastor the other day, and he said that their church was looking at some expansion things they were doing, but he said that their church has said, no matter what we do not want to take on any debt. And he was trying to figure out kind of where all that was coming from, and he said it was specifically coming from the younger people in their church that live with this every day, and they're like, we don't want that at church too. Like, it's such a weight for us to carry. And here's what's crazy about all of this is, again, we live in such a better standard of living than anybody in our families have ever lived with. Like, I make substantially more money than my grandparents made. Most of us are raising our kids at a standard of living significantly better than we raised. And here's how you know that our kids are being raised at a higher standard of living, right? Imagine this conversation. Take yourself back 25, 30, 40 years, whatever it is for you. And imagine sitting down with your parents and saying, hey, mom and dad, I need $100 so that I can buy a pair of jeans that have holes in them, okay? Let me just tell you how my dad would have responded. He's like, oh, you don't need $100 for jeans with holes in them. You just keep wearing those a little bit longer and they'll have holes in them. You'll have exactly what you need. My dad would have gone nuts if I would ask him for something like that. I go up to my kid's closet and I look at their shoes and I'm like, oh my gosh, I would do anything. I wish I wore your size shoes. I mean, we are raising our kids at a standard of living that most of us didn't experience growing up, and definitely the generations behind our parents never even dreamed was a reality. And what's happened is society keeps pushing the bar higher and higher and higher for what is required in life to be happy and to be satisfied. And I'm telling you, it's an unsustainable pace. So my desire, my wish for you and for me is that we would live with financial freedom. And we can do that, but we can't do that and have everything we want. We've got to figure out a way to swim upstream a little. We've got to figure out a way to develop a plan that manages our money. We've ultimately got to figure out a way to live God's way financially if we're going to live with financial freedom. That's my wish for you. So here's my simple question. How much financial freedom are you living with right now? If it's not as much as you would like, what could you do this school year to take a step toward living more financially free? It could be a game changer for your life. And that's my wish for you. So I got one more simple wish, and without any doubt, this is the one that's most important, definitely the most important one to me, but maybe one that you don't think about all that often in your everyday life. My final wish for you is very simply this, that you would have the experience of leading someone to Jesus, leading someone to a personal, meaningful relationship with Jesus. Now, one thing we can all agree on about life, we know that life is short. We know that our days are numbered. We don't know how many days that God has given us, but we've been on this earth long enough to know that our days are numbered. But Jesus consistently communicated something in the Gospels and the New Testament. He consistently communicated that there is a life that is beyond this life. You see, Jesus came onto the scene and he delivered this amazing message. I don't know how familiar you are with this message, but it's absolutely paramount that you understand and you know this. Jesus came onto the scene and he said, since the time of Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, all of humanity is sinful and broken and spiritually separated from God, who is life. We are spiritually separated from God. He said, not only so, but the sin that we commit in life, when we hurt others, when we hurt ourselves, when we dishonor or disobey God, it separates us from God and it gives us the penalty of death. But here's what's so incredible. But God, two of the best words in the entire Bible, he loved us so much that he sent Jesus onto the scene, and Jesus lived the perfect sinless life that we couldn't live. And ultimately, he gave his life freely on a cross to pay the price that we could never pay. 3 days later, he rose from the grave, and then he extended this offer, this message to every single one of us. He said, hey, you sinful, broken people, referring to me and all of us. He said, why don't you give me all of your sin and your debt, and I'll take it and I'll put it on the cross, and I'll give you all of my life and my freedom and my mercy, and this new life will come alive inside of you. That's what it means to be born from above, the scripture says, or born again. That's the exchange. Isn't that great news? Let me tell you what that simple message is called, and that message is free for everyone. That simple message is called this. It's called the gospel. The gospel simply means good news. And let me tell you what we believe about this message right here. Go on to the next slide. We believe that the gospel is best conveyed in the context of personal relationships. Here's what that means for you and me. We could very easily rent out all the billboards in town. We could take up all the Facebook advertising that there is. We could have one of those planes that flies over with the message, you know, kind of hanging off the back of it. We could communicate this message to everybody in this city somehow, but we don't think that's the most effective way. We think the most effective way is when you and I sit down with an individual who we care about and we build a relationship with them of care and trust, and they get to know our hearts, and we find out that they don't have this relationship with God, and we invite them into this. That's what this place is all about. And there is a wish that I have for you that sometime in your life, you would have the experience of walking with someone to that point where they put their trust in Jesus. And I would actually take it one step further and say, my wish for you is that you would be sitting in this cheering section over here one Sunday in your life, and there would be somebody who steps into this baptismal water and talks about their life being changed, and they could point to you as one of the reasons why. It'll change your life. It may be the best experience you ever have. So let me ask you a simple question. Do you have anybody in your life right now that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus who you're investing in for their sake? If you don't, what could you do this school year to take a step in that direction, to begin to invest in one of those relationships? I think it would really, really be powerful for you and for me. So those are my wishes. Those are my four wishes for you. Now, those could seem totally random. And Sean, where did those come from? And I'll just tell you real quickly where they came from. They came from observing people over the last 20 plus years and looking at the highs and lows of their lives and looking at the things that matter and saying, look, if you want your life to really count, then you need some authentic friendships. You need a place where you're investing in others. You need to live financially free. And then you need to help be involved in pointing someone else to Jesus. I've seen this over and over again. Matter of fact, this is so important. It's so vital, and we think it's so important in your relationship with God. We've actually structured our entire church around this idea. We came up with this really creative title that we put around this. We call it The Four Things. We came up with this all on our own. No marketing group or anybody helped us with this. You see, these four things are things that we've observed that when an army of people come together and they begin to put their energy and their resources into doing these four things, not only is it so good and so healthy for all of us and helps grow our faith, but it actually impacts a city. It impacts a city for eternity. I don't know if you know this, but we don't have church membership here. The reason we don't have church membership is because many organizations offer membership and it benefits their members in some capacity. But my friend Matt Stevens is famous for saying something. This isn't his original phrase, but I hear Matt say it the most. So I quote Matt, and this is what he says. He says, the church is one of the few organizations in the world that does not exist for the benefit of its members, that we exist for the people of our city. And when an army of us comes together and lives this out, it is absolutely life-changing. As a matter of fact, this is why some of you are here today. Because over the last 13 years, there have been people that have been living these out, and they've invited you into their small group, or they've invited you to this place, or they're spending their time serving your kids. It's an absolute game changer. So here's how I want to wrap up today. I want to wrap up by introducing you to a friend of mine who is actually in the process of living all of this out, and her name is Christine. So will you guys help me welcome Christine Howarth real quick? Hey, Christine,
hey.
How are you?
Good, how
Thanks
are you?
So much for doing this. So Christine is a college student here at the University of Georgia. She started her career here thinking she was gonna move toward being a vet one day. And so as a result of that, started working part-time in an animal hospital. I've loved animals for a long time.
Yeah.
But Christine has a relationship with Jesus, and God has kind of given her a heart for the people around her who don't have that same relationship. And so in your work, you began to get to know some of the folks there, and it became clear that one of your coworkers did not have a relationship with Jesus. And actually, she had some questions that were maybe similar to some of your questions. So tell us about that friendship, if you will, please.
Yeah. So the receptionist at our animal clinic couldn't really reconcile like science and religion. And so she was an atheist for a long time. And those were a lot of my questions in my like doubt phases, too. So I had some answers, not all of them, to those kinds of questions. And towards the beginning of opening the animal clinic, we didn't have a lot of appointments. We had a lot of time to just talk and hang out in reception. So I really started investing in her and trying to get her questions answered. But through all of this, there was another girl at the clinic who didn't have a relationship with Jesus either, who would eavesdrop on our conversations.
Which we can all relate to, right? The conversation's happening, you're leaning a little further, yeah.
From the break room, and she got really interested in them, and she would come join our conversations sometimes, but she didn't grow up with any kind of church background at all, which was shocking to me because we're here in the Bible Belt, and most people at least have some sort of church experience, so she was hearing all of this for the first time, and her like area of interest wasn't necessarily science and religion, but through those conversations, heard the message of love and grace and wanted in on that.
That is unbelievable. So first of all, guys, just very simply, here's Christine as a college student working part-time in this animal hospital, and she's just thinking about the people that are around her. Maybe they do or maybe they don't have a relationship with God. So she just starts some casual conversation and begins to see that a couple of them don't. And so she moves further into this conversation, which is really cool because God aligned some of her doubts on some of her issues with some of theirs, and God often does that in our stories. And so you begin this relationship with Kaylee. You guys are talking about spiritual things, and then there becomes this kind of key night because you have her over for movie night, which is awesome, so friend. But you guys watch a unique movie that night. Tell us about that.
Yes, we watched The Passion of the Christ.
That's awesome. Everybody's typical
just
pizza
casual,
movie night on Friday.
Yeah, slumber party on a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like she was asking me, like, at this point now, she's, like, read some stuff in the Bible. She's come and listened to sermons here, and she's like, you know, what else can I do? Like, I feel like now I know stuff in my head, and I want to feel it in my heart. And, you know, I was like, well, maybe we could, like, visualize it a little bit. So why don't you come over, and, like, we can watch The Passion of the Christ. And so she comes over, and I like had to explain sort of like the story before we watched it. And then as we're watching the movie, I'm like pausing it and being like, that's Pilate, that's a Gentile, that's King Herod, like the thing she's never heard before, which that's crazy to me, but it was awesome.
It's unbelievable, though. Yeah, so she's got really no context. She grew up in this area, and she didn't have a lot of religious background, and so this is kind of a visual way that she can enter into this. That is fantastic. So you're walking through all this, so super courageous, but yet something any of us really could do with someone as well. So I love that. So eventually she says, hey, I'll join you at church, and she shows up at church. Tell us about what was going on that Sunday and all that.
So, yes, the next Sunday we came to church together, and it was back in January when we were listening to Levi Luska's series, Swipe Right, which is all about sex and relationships. So I was a little bit nervous having her here. I was definitely like coming in, like seeing everything like through her lens and stuff. So I was like, I'm just nervous for her to hear a sex and relationships talk. But I didn't know what she needed. The Lord knew. And at the end of the message, when Levi was inviting people into the gospel Kaylee started getting emotional, and I was like, hey, why are you getting emotional? Like, what's up? And she was like, I want that. I want in. And I was like,
unbelievable. That is so great. That is so great. Well, it actually gets a little bit better. So she starts attending here, starts getting involved. Then she invites her family.
Yeah.
They start coming. Mm-hmm. And then she and some people in her family decide to go through Starting Point.
Mm-hmm.
They go through that, have a good experience.
Yeah.
And then they find out we offer Financial Peace University.
Yes.
They go through Financial Peace. Sounds like that was a positive experience for them
yeah.
as well.
Came out of debt, paid off their cars, paid off her little sister's braces. Such a good thing.
Unbelievable. Now, pause and think just for a second, okay? She never thought getting invited to church would radically change even the financial freedom part of her life. But it did. It was a game changer for her. And so now Kaylee is in a small group, serving. Did you say in Wambaland?
In Wambaland.
That is just absolutely amazing and doing so, so good. I got to tell you one other chapter of this story. So I've known Christine for just a little bit, but this week we sat down and kind of talked through this story a little bit, and I was asking her about her background, and she said, yeah, for about the first 10 years of my life, we didn't really grow up in church all that much. You know, my family wasn't super spiritual. She said, but when I got to be around 10 years old, my parents went through a really tough phase, which Bonnie and I can really relate to, and any of you that are married can really relate to. And she said, there's this guy who had been inviting my dad to church over and over again. And during this tough season in their marriage, my dad said, all right, like, leave me alone, whatever, I'll go, and decides to go to church. And when he does, her dad begins a relationship with Jesus. And she said, from that point forward, our whole family engaged in church at North Point Community Church in Alpharetta, and it began to change our lives. And she said, as a matter of fact, my dad's story, his baptism story, was kind of on the North Point website for a long time. And y'all, I just got to pause here just for a second, okay? If you could rewind the clock 13 and a half years, almost 14 years now, to the fall of 2004, we're trying to get this church started, and we're trying to tell people about what could happen here and what could happen in this city. And North Point's kind of the only frame of reference that we have. So I used to have this baptism video that I took around with me everywhere I went. And I showed this guy's baptism story, who I'd never met before, but it was one of the best baptisms I'd ever seen. And now I'm sitting in my office like 5 days ago, and I'm sitting with Christine, and she starts telling me about her dad. I'm like, is your dad Steve? She said, yes. No way, that's your dad. I've never even met that guy. He's unbelievable. It's like the greatest story ever. And I'm just thinking, just pause with me just for a second. 15 years ago, their family's unchurched. God knows what they need. Their marriage is going through a difficult place. Someone invites Steve. Steve then leads his family to Jesus. Christine makes her way to the University of Georgia, plants herself in an animal hospital, and God puts her around some people who need Jesus. And she just decides, I don't have every answer in the world, but I'm just going to be a light right here where I am. Is that amazing or what? Christine, you are awesome. Will you guys just thank her with me one more time? You're so great. Thank you so much. Oh, my gosh. So great. You know, y'all, we have this little phrase around here. You may or may not see it from time to time. It's called Athens, I love you. And interestingly enough, the phrase came from a college girl in a creative brainstorming session many years ago. And we came up with this idea. If God could just say one thing, if he only had one moment to say one thing to all the people of our city, what do we think he'd say? We think he'd say, I love you. And here's the deal. God has said that, and he's now allowing you and I to be his mouthpiece in this city. And through our words and through our actions, we get to communicate to the people of the city that God's not mad at you, he's not against you, he's not trying to strike you down, he loves you, and he wants the best possible life for you. And that's why we invite you into this with us. On your way out today, guest services volunteers are going to have free Athens I Love You stickers, and you can put one wherever you want, but maybe, just maybe, if this church is your church and this mission is the mission that you want to be involved in, maybe you consider putting one of them on your car as just a way to create conversation with people in your life, and also a way to communicate to the other people that are around you here that, hey, I'm with you and I'm in. So I've got four simple wishes for you. And those four wishes connect with action steps that you can do here to engage. Here they are. I want you to have authentic friendships, not just surface friendships, real ones. One of the ways that you can do that is you can join a small group. But let me tell you, if you join a small group, please don't bring the Instagram version of you. Please bring the real version, the authentic real version. I want you to consistently invest your life in other people and build it into your routine so that it happens. One of the ways you can do that is through serving. And let me tell you, we're not doing this message, we're not doing this today because we have a huge need for volunteers or we're, you know, in a bad place financially. We're actually in a great place with all of those. But we want to invite you to let your life matter for eternity. I want you to live in financial freedom. And for that to happen, you're going to have to live God's way, which is give first, save second, live off the rest. That's going to set you up to live free. And I want you to help lead someone to Jesus. And we'll partner with you if you'll simply invest your life in someone else's life and ultimately invite them to join you here. We'll do our very best to make sure it's a great experience. I'm so glad you started your Sunday with us. But let me tell you, this was way more than just a place to attend. It is a mission that you can engage with and you can make an eternal difference if you'll simply choose to take one of these steps. Anytime you want help taking one of them, you can stop by the studio or you can go to our website. All the information is there. It's super clear. It's not difficult. It's just a matter of, is this something that you want to engage your life in this next season? So this school year, would you begin some authentic friendships? Would you invest in some other people? Would you begin to live with financial freedom? And would you help lead someone to Jesus? I think you'll be so glad that you did. Will you bow your head and close your eyes with me just for a second? Lord, I just think about my life like Christine's, that God, you and church weren't on our radar, and yet some people invested in us. Some people invited us, and it's changed my whole life. It's changed my whole family, and I just couldn't be more thankful. And God, I just thank you that you've planted us here in this city at this time. It's such an amazing opportunity. And I thank you for the hundreds of people that are already invested in this mission. And I pray for my friends today, God, that need to take a step, that you would show them exactly what the right next step is for them. And you would help them to just, Lord, pour their lives into things that really matter. Would you help us to move beyond our kind of self-focus and being fully absorbed, consumed by ourselves, and help us to begin to focus on other people and begin to live out that life that is truly life that you offer. So God, let your spirit move here. Let this place be a movement of your love and grace and kindness in this city. And we pray it all in Jesus' amazing name. Amen.